Hello, lady lovers, and welcome to another episode of Lady Lovin'. Today, I am joined by Jilly Hendricks and Lo Bosworth, of course.
Hello, everyone. So it's so nice to see you.
It's so nice to be with my ladies, and we have one of my number one lady loves joining us on the show today. We have Rae Siegel with us. She is the digital director for CR Fashion Book, which I will have her explain to you because it's incredible and a true accolade. And does that make sense grammatically?
No, not technically.
Okay. I didn't think so because I saw Rae is a writer. So, you know, it's like she's my grammar mom. So, yeah, Rae, I'm so happy that you're here with us.
Thank you. I'm so happy to finally be here. I've been wanting to do this for a really long time.
Can you briefly explain to our listeners what CR is, how you got started in this industry, what your background is, et cetera, et cetera?
Of course. So CR is a biannual publication that was founded by the editor-in-chief of Vogue Paris. And it was founded about 4 years ago, so it's sort of it's a niche publication that fills the gap in the aspirational media market, since most women's magazines today are a little bit more mass, and it is mostly fashion, beauty, and lifestyle magazine.
Cool.
Emphasis on fashion.
It's really beautiful, and it's very forward thinking, and I think that that's what makes it
and high fashion.
Out. Yeah, super high fashion.
And I would also point out that if you've seen The Devil Wears Prada, mm-hmm. my boss is sort of the Jacqueline.
Right.
I love that tidbit.
The French counterpart to Anna Wintour, I would say.
Well, Corinne is so cool. I feel like she's such a cool boss to have.
How do you say her last name?
Reutfeldt.
So it's Corinne Reutfeldt.
Yes. Right. And what was it that led you into this career?
So when I first moved to the city, I had to do an internship to complete college. And I ended up working in the vintage archive at What Goes Around Comes Around, mm-hmm. which was at the time on Leet Street. And I think they recently moved it to Jersey, but they still have a location at West Broadway, and they have a location in LA now. And it's this really incredible vintage archive. And I saw like all of these like teams coming in from Ralph Lauren, who wanted to, you know, get inspiration for their future collections. And then we also did, we helped pull for movie wardrobe. So if there was a period piece, like we would spend like a month going through like different Lacoste shirts to find like the right collar from like the 1970s.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So I saw all these teams coming in, and then I also helped put together product that we'd send out on photo shoots. And then, you know, we'd work with all these stylists, and I kind of figured out that I wanted to be more on the editorial side. So I started just by interning at any magazine that I could get an internship at. And it was really hard to do that at first, but I landed like in the fashion closet at Vanity Fair.
I mean, that's not a bad place to start.
No, it wasn't. I was sitting at a coffee shop. I remember I was probably, I was 22, sitting mm-hmm. in a coffee shop, totally unemployed. It was next to a school, and I would just see these really cute kids come in all day. And I thought like, oh, maybe I could just like be a nanny and play with these adorable kids that are running around. And then it was like at the same time, I got a phone call from my friend who was working in the photo department at Vanity Fair. And she said, like, there's an opening. You need to come now. Like, ran through
like
an address.
Right now?
Yeah,
like,
right
run
now.
Here?
Yeah. It was actually Laura Katzenberg. I don't know if you know her.
Mm-mm.
No. But she, she got me my first job there.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
I think something that we've spoken a lot about throughout our friendship is just like work ethic and the importance of working, and like realizing that if you want a strong return, you need to be willing to put in a lot and a lot and a lot of work. And I think that you're such an example of being 22 years old and like really willing to take a job that maybe you thought that you were above it or something like that, but just like doing it is what's important. Because we get a lot of people that write to us being like, I'm 25 and totally lost and don't know what I'm doing. And I think, like, I don't know, could you speak on the work aspect of being young and like how to handle your expectations for yourself and your expectations for your job?
Yeah. When I was working in at Vanity Fair, you know, we worked till midnight almost every single night. So there was really no time for a work-life balance. So that's something that I've been like lucky enough to incorporate now, which this is 10 years later, by the way. And yeah, I think that when you arrive, like you just sort of have to be willing to accept your limitations and just know that you might have no idea what's going on and you need to look around you and learn from those people and figure it out, because like no one's gonna help you. Mm-hmm. You know, your first day on the job or your first month on the job, or you know, there's always gonna be you're just never going to know what's going on unless you are willing to learn from the people that are trying to teach you.
Yeah.
So, and no one's going to hand you anything. I think it's changed a lot since I first started in media, but, I think that, you know, now like it was really, at that time, it was almost like pre-internet. Like, yeah. People didn't have blogs and people didn't have Instagram accounts. So you kind of had to build your career by, you know, the old-fashioned way.
Well, yeah, right? There was no way to actually, like, show your own resume, online like you can now and be like, oh, this is, like, what my aesthetic is. Now, before, you had to kind of, like, prove what it was, you know what I mean? Yeah. Through, like, your work.
And I think that's great that, you know, everyone has a voice now and that you can use those platforms to propel your career. But there's also something to be said about, you know, going through those steps and perfecting your trade. Like, I don't think that you need to graduate from college and like have all of that sorted already, because there are still a lot of great people to learn from. Mm-hmm. And if you, you know, are willing to like slow down a little bit and put that time in, I think it'll work out in the long run, because a blog or an Instagram account isn't necessarily sustainable.
Right.
Yeah. We have like a few people that have emailed us being like, I'm in my mid-20s and I'm not sure like what I want to do with my life. And it seems like everyone has, you know, their shit together, but everyone has, you know, their career path and everything. And so they're just wondering, I guess, what you'd recommend to figure out like what you want to do. I mean, I guess, did you always know that you wanted to work in that specific?
No, not at all. I think
she wanted to be a nanny.
Yeah. Exactly.
I mean,
well, when I was 4, I told my mom I wanted to work at Burger King so I could wear the crown.
Right.
So I think that my parents were very pleased.
You came out with high expectations for yourself.
Yeah.
But when you graduated from college, like, what did you think you were going to do?
No, I remember my senior year of college, I had a talk with my professor, who was also my advisor. She, you know, sort of recognized that I was in the wrong major. My parents sort of coerced me into being a business major, which they thought was a practical idea, but it just didn't really match my interests or my skill set. Mm-hmm. So I was very different from the other girls in my major, but a lot of the tests were written exams. So I was getting much higher grades and like not always showing up and not really having to study. And my professor said, like, you should be a writer. Like, have you ever thought about that? And I hadn't, because it seemed like a very daunting, far-fetched thing to do to just right. like launch yourself as a writer somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again,
what does that even mean? Like, right, I'm
exactly.
a writer.
Exactly. Like, they
what
don't,
is that?
I don't know. There's so many different things you could write. There's,
well, yeah, there's like the editorial, know, there's books, there's right. movies, that, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Journalism.
So every word that you see, there's someone yeah. behind those words.
Right.
There's probably someone who works at Netflix and writes like posters and little,
yeah, yeah.
Sure, know. Like the one liner for each show.
Exactly.
The description.
Yeah. Do you want, my exactly. cousin is literally in her person. Like fourth round of auditions, or fourth round of interviews to be that person at Netflix.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Cool. We right. just had Bob on the show who names cosmetics and fragrances. And so he's a writer in a sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, yeah, it's crazy.
I only choose my makeup colors by looking at the name. So I try to like have the name like fit the mood if I'm at my Netflix.
I love
well,
that.
That's a good, that's a, an example of someone that's good at their job.
Yeah.
Right? They want you to see the color and be like, oh, this speaks to me.
Yeah. That's like the first thing I look at yeah. is the name.
But, so wait.
So going back to your yeah. question, yeah, I was really, I guess, kind of going down the wrong path because I didn't have a clear idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of kids go to school thinking like, well, I want to go to Michigan because that's where my parents went and I'm going to be an astronaut. And I knew neither of those things. They were like, oh, your cousin goes to Syracuse. Do you want to go there? And I was like, okay, fine.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was in this major that really wasn't right for me. So, it was just very lucky that I found that internship because I knew I wanted to do something in the fashion space. And through that, through those experiences, like I knew I didn't want to be a stylist once
yeah.
I sort of tried my hand at that. And someone from the photo department gave me like little like lipstick captions to write about. So I started writing a very small amount and worked my way up. And then it sort of all clicked like, yeah, I guess I've always been a writer. I used to enter contests at the local library when I was 5.
And right.
I
yeah.
wrote, I have all these books that I wrote when I was in grade school. And I wrote and illustrated these books that were
sweet.
All based on, like, actually not so loosely based on Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Like, I've been
that's really so funny.
So yeah, it's sort of like that. You try things out and see what you like and you don't like.
Yeah, and you know, if you can't think of something that you're good at, then you just really, it's really trial and error.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's really interesting though that a professor sort of pushed you in the right direction. And I think it's really interesting, the sort of the idea that people around you might be able to see what you're really good at. And
right.
so I think the concept of asking for advice from the people that you trust is probably something that could help a lot of people who feel lost or they feel sort of aimless. They don't really know what to do because other people see you really well for who you are, you know, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, what you could be great at, you know?
Right.
I think it's something that bums me out is I'll like talk to a friend that is sort of in between jobs or confused as to what path they want to take and they say like, I'm just not that good at one thing. Like, I'm not that good at anything. I'm not that special in one way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most often those people that say that to me, I'm like, in my mind, like you're saying, when you can
yeah.
look at someone with such clarity, I'm like, in my mm-hmm. mind, you're so good at, you know, X, Y, and Z and doing this and that. So I think that if you're feeling like you're really not good at one thing, you don't need to be good at one thing
well,
in
right.
order.
It's like going back to that idea of like, you're not going to be an expert in your field on your first day at work.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
you know, that's something that you build over time and you have to just enjoy what you're doing. And I think that's sort of where you start, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Like what do you enjoy?
If you
doing?
Really feel like, you know, everyone else in your class is like great at, you know, retail math and visual merchandising, and, you know, that's not you, then, you know, what do you enjoy doing?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, not the truth of the matter is too, that not everyone is lucky enough to do what they enjoy.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
And that's okay too. Like, if you are doing something to pay the bills, just be like keeping up your interest as a hobby on the side, and like figure out a way to turn that into something that you might be able to do someday. Like, it just, it can all like click on graduation day, and you know, it's a huge process.
I think too, I think that a lot of times people don't realize that the first few years in a field might be horrible until you get to the next level, and then it starts being a lot more enjoyable because you've worked your way there, but it does take some time.
Yeah.
It's almost like, yeah, when you go to school to become a plastic surgeon, it's what, 12 years? And then you get it, you know what I mean? And I think, or a doctor, it's like 8 years, you know? So I feel like people forget sometimes that the beginning is always going to be not as enjoyable as like later on.
Yeah. I also think it's really hard to go from being a senior in college where you're like, I know everything.
Yeah.
Like, I know everyone at school. I barely go to class now because it's April and I'm about to graduate. Yeah. And then like going and getting your first job, and literally your first job is like printing out UPS labels and like sticking them on boxes and mailing shit to people.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, fuck.
You're just like a glorified.
My first job was in a closet making copies, and I did it every day for a month, and then they were like, you made such good copies, and then they hired me.
Yeah.
I made for my bad copy ability. I was actually like not even making good copies. They were like, yeah, this one's a little off center, and like, you need to be more careful about that. And I'll always remember like even getting that instruction. Yeah. It's like, yeah, she's right. Like, I really have to pay better attention to these copies that
That's
I'm making.
Funny.
Like,
I was lucky because I essentially went to a trade school, like going to Parsons and studying photography. That was all we studied there. Like, we didn't take, there was no core curriculum. There was no,
you don't have to like take math class.
No, there's no math class. There's nothing.
Lucky.
Like, I think I had to take like two art history classes, and like, I took electives at Eugene Lang, but truly, if I wanted to, my whole curriculum was just photography.
Right.
It was like large format photography, digital photography, Photoshop class, Illustrator class. Like, it was really like I was just going to school to learn this skill.
That's so fun, though.
It was. I mean, it was really fun.
If you want the creative, if that's what you want.
No, it was great, and I feel very lucky because when I graduated from college, I became a photo assistant.
Yeah.
So, like, my job immediately, compared to my other friends that had just graduated from college who were printing things in closets and messing up photocopies and things of that nature, like, my job seemed like
amazing,
incredible.
Yeah.
You know, I was traveling. I was on sets. I was taking photos of stuff, but I mean, there was, it's not that, it also quickly became clear to me that like, that's not what I wanted to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely.
And then when I realized that that wasn't what I wanted to do, then I was like, oh my God, this is all I have.
Yeah.
Like, this is all I've studied.
Right.
Well, that's another thing that is important to remember too, is like, just because you went to school for one specific thing, like, I was a business major, now I'm an editor, you know, there's no one that's gonna say, not gonna take a chance on you because like your major doesn't
line
up.
Right.
And I also think that your major, like your business major, I'm sure in some ways has helped you now. Just like, I think photography for me, I know has helped me in many ways now too. I think that all of these experiences just help you.
I'm also a big fan of continued education, but not necessarily like applying to go back to school, but taking a class in something that you're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I would love
one
to
course.
Go back to school.
Yeah, that would be amazing. But I feel like that's a little bit hard. I mean, to come up with like all the money to pay for that and to take the time off and not, you know, have a job and to be like, if I'm not quite sure, I can't really fully commit to like this 4-year program or 2-year program. But just even taking like one class, I think is super helpful to sort of, you know, help you get more direction and gain more skill. So I always like, sure. I did a bunch of that after college, and that really helped me.
Yeah. I went to culinary school a couple years ago. I went to the French Culinary Institute. I went to UCLA for undergraduate, and a couple years ago, I love to cook, and I wanted to incorporate cooking into my brand and career, but I felt like it was really important to do it right and to, you know, like, have that degree and like legitimize myself in the space. And so I went to the FCI, and it was honestly, in terms of like higher education, I'm so happy that I did it. I'm so happy that I like didn't apply to business school. I'm so happy that I didn't go down a different road. And I just wanted to kind of go back to what Greta was saying about like Parsons being a trade school. Like, I think in this day and age, there's so much to be said for going to a trade school instead of a research university if you have the foresight of like what you think you might want to do.
Yeah.
UCLA was a research university. I didn't have any like applied knowledge or skills of like what to do in my first job outside of, you know, how to be professional, how to like write a nice email, how to, you know, write a nice paper. Like, that's what I learned in school was right. really how to be an adult and conduct myself. But, you know, I like think about Greta being at Parsons and really like learning a craft and being able to directly apply that to something like I did in culinary school.
Right.
Like,
it's a really incredible feeling.
And like fulfilling.
Yeah.
Really fulfilling.
What I learned in college was just like how to like make friends, to mm-hmm. be honest, because I grew up in like a small town in California, and then I went to college in Boston, didn't know one person, and just had to like figure out how to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like that was the best thing I ever learned from college.
So Ray, if you could like say from where you were 10 years ago to now, like now what do your responsibilities include at CR? Like, what is a day in your life like?
Oh yeah. Give us the whole breakdown, starting with what time you wake up and the coffee, the coffee intake.
Yeah, so I usually wake up around 7, but I'm always trying to wake up earlier. That's just kind of like the earliest that I can do right now, unfortunately. But the second that I wake up, I'm checking the news to see what happened in Europe, if anything happened there already, and like the fashion news cycle, but also
the world news.
Yeah, because we're always trying to, you know, relate our content to what's going on in the world, and also to, you know, to what's going on the internet and what people are talking about.
Yeah.
Because that's how we get our traffic, by participating in that. Even though we are like a fashion luxury destination online. So then the coffee, I guess.
Then the coffee.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, even before I brush my teeth, shower, and have coffee, I'm already sort of doing those things like
right.
Instagram, Facebook, just reading.
Yeah.
And I do sort of long for the day when I can wake up and not have to be like tuned into all
right.
of that, because it's a little unhealthy, but I've sort of just, you know, have come to terms with the fact that that is, you know, what, that's what my life is right now. And, you know, I enjoy it, but it's definitely, it'll probably be one of those things that, you know, you wake up in like 20 years and you're like, yeah, I'm really tired.
Yeah.
Cause it's a lot. So we already have, you know, stories that are scheduled the night before, and like those are going up all morning. So like the night before, I do a lot of editing and, you know, just making sure that we're starting off the day strong. And then I have a network of freelancers and other writers who are, you know, checking the news cycle too, making sure we're covering everything.
So what do you cover like in a day?
So like take yesterday, for example, was a good day. The Grammy nominees came out. So, you know, that was something that we looked at. And Remy Ma was the only female rapper who was nominated. And so we just, you know, found a contact for her, reached out to her, scheduled an interview with her that day, and like turned the story around.
Did you interview her yesterday?
I had one of my writers do it. I wish that I could have talked to her. Yeah. But it was a great story.
Cool. So was she cool in the interview?
Yeah.
It's on the internet now.
So she was nominated for her song All the Way Up with Fat Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah. I'm all the way up.
Exactly.
Clearly, we were not nominated.
And she's like had sort of a tough road. I mean, it's a tough job to be a female in rap.
Yeah, like, that sounds alone like is. It.
So there was Remy Ma. There was now like all my days are sort of blending together. But I, you know, there's the like Chanel show in Paris, the pre-fall show we're covering. So we're covering like all of the fashion events, like, you know, the Victoria's Secret show, which I'm really happy to be putting behind us because that was a widely covered event. I feel like it was bigger than ever.
I think it was in Paris.
Right.
It was in Paris.
Well, it was in London last year.
Can I tell you, they all look the same to me. Not the models, but every Victoria's Secret fashion show looks the same to me. I can't tell a year from a different year.
There's something about like mixing lingerie with a Thanksgiving turkey costume that's just...
Did they do that this year?
I feel like they always kind of have like
great animals.
Yeah.
Well, they're angels, guys.
The crazy thing to me,
and they have their
wings. Is the like way in which the bras push up the boobs. I just don't even understand.
Well, I think for the Victoria's Secret fashion show, there's like a lot of backstage manipulation going on.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I've
for
been
sure,
back
but like there stuff.
You've
it's
been
not
back there.
Really,
amazing.
How Victoria's Secret bra fits.
I know, but I just mean I'm always in awe by like the they're so high.
Yeah, and some of the angels are like 35 years old at this point. I think Adriana Lima.
Adriana Lima,
like, amazing. Yeah. Wasn't there a pregnant one?
Irina Shayk.
Yeah,
she's pregnant with Bradley Cooper's. Is that his name? Right.
Is that who it is?
Yeah, the guy from The Hangover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Fun. Get okay, it. Sorry. Back to your day.
Be a cute kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really just trying to figure out, like, what moments we can seize.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, we have things scheduled in advance. And we're a team of two. So it's very challenging.
But then you have a lot of freelancers that you work with.
There are not too many, to be honest. Yeah, it's most of it's done in house.
Wow.
Yeah, I try to get everything done in house
with just you and one other person.
Can I ask you a question?
Oh my god, yeah. That's crazy.
How do you know about all the stuff that's going on? Is it just because you've worked in the industry for so long and you have all these contacts and people email you stuff, or like how do you know? Where do you get your information from?
Yeah, that's a good question. So my inbox is like this.
It's crazy.
Beast, and it is press releases coming in all day, and then, you know, just also reading the news. To make sure that we haven't missed anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one person like looking on Instagram. Twitter is also really great for news.
I love
a lot
Twitter.
Of people use that, but, you know, you follow the outlets that you
are interested in
mm-hmm. and it's really up to date. I mean, that's...
So how many stories do you guys release a day?
So it's usually about 7 stories a day. And like our daily horoscope, which is very popular.
Who writes the horoscope?
Kareen's astrologer writes the horoscope. Her name is Dominique.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
And it's in French, so we translate it.
That's amazing.
I love that. Wait, can we read one?
Yeah, of course.
Oh my god, I feel like that would be so fun.
It should be there.
I was like thinking about the question that I wanted to ask before we got distracted by horoscopes. Mm-hmm. I remember talking to you about how you started working in the digital space before it really became like everything.
Right. So I graduated college, actually, since we were talking about that, at kind of this weird point in time when like the curriculum like really was not centered around anything that could like apply itself to today's digital media.
Right.
I mean, almost nothing. Like, I think that the only class that I took was like Excel, like learning how to use Excel. Yeah, it just wasn't like, I graduated in 2006, and that seems like it's not that long ago, but.
Oh my God. I mean, if you think about 2006 and where we are now, it's so long ago.
Right. It was like people had Blackberries.
BBM.
I don't even think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. BBM. I don't think the iPhone had even been invented yet. That's probably not true. But.
I think the first iPhone actually came out that year. I think. I'll confirm, but I'm pretty sure.
Right. So I graduated then. And like there's just nothing that I learned in school, unfortunately, that could have prepared. And I don't think any of us knew, you know,
right.
We were like working in print, working in the features department. The website was just sort of an afterthought,
right,
for all of these magazines. And, you know, I sort of ended up there by accident. Like one of my editors said, like, you know, you have an interesting voice for online, and I think you'd be better over there. And I didn't want to go. Like, I thought I'd rather, you know, work at the Crown Jewel, which is the magazine. And then I started doing it, and I realized that, you know, every day was sort of a clean slate, like, and you could participate in like the conversation that's happening today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Versus a magazine that, you know, at this point, fashion news isn't even really part of what's being covered because it's all happening on the internet. There's
right.
no such thing as a print exclusive anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, people are not reading anything for the first time in a magazine. It's happening
live as it happens in real time.
Exactly.
Just so you know, the first iPhone was introduced on June 29th of 2007. So you were right.
Right. There were no iPhones when I graduated.
None.
I'm telling you.
You guys.
That makes
you
me
like,
sound really old.
There was none when I graduated high school.
There you go. I had a beeper in high school. So.
Oh, get it.
Shut up. I love that. I had a Nokia, and I would change the cover. I'd go from light blue to light green to
I
light pink.
The Nokia.
I had a purple cover on mine.
Cute.
Like, mine was
plant.
Orange.
They were so big.
I had a...
They were like the size of house phones.
They were like Zach Morris phones.
It was like a Nintendo Game Boy.
Or do you remember when you drive in your parents' car or your friend's parents' car, and they had a car phone?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my dad
had one. And it was like so
one.
Funny.
Yeah. Yes, my dad had
okay,
a
I'm going to go ahead and read a Sagittarius horoscope.
Okay.
But you know what I've realized? By the time y'all listen to this, it's not going to matter. So you can just think, hey, maybe that was what my week was like. Okay. It says Mars is in your sign this week, bringing bounds of positive energy and the chance to go on an exciting date if you're single. If you're already in a relationship, be wary of causing an unnecessary argument. Professionally speaking, news of your hard work ethic is reaching those who matter, so you can expect a promising opportunity to come your way soon.
Ooh,
I like that last one because we're talking about work.
Are you a Sagittarius? Is that why you chose that?
I just only see two, and there's Capricorn on there, but I feel like I don't really know anyone that's a Capricorn.
Yeah, does she do all of them every day or just like the most recent ones?
So every day we do like three different signs, which
that's cool.
Doesn't really make that much sense, but that's what she does.
Got it. Did you read yours today?
No, I haven't read it yet.
Oh, do you want me to read it to you? Okay, fine. I'll read Capricorn too. I guess you just like my reading voice,
it's
Greta.
Usually pretty spot on.
Single Capricorns will be greeted by love's magic touch this week. However, if the thought of getting into a new relationship unnerves you, don't be afraid to slow the roll and make the situation more casual. Couples, you need to learn to put your lover's needs before your own. At work, if you set clear goals for yourself, you'll be more likely to achieve success in the future.
Ray.
Are you a Capricorn?
Yeah.
Oh, you are a Capricorn.
Well,
right.
Classic.
Sounds like you need to learn to put your lover's needs before your own.
Yeah.
Just
true.
Kidding.
Your
on
husband's
that,
just waiting.
On that note, I think we should move into sex floor relationship talk.
Oh, yes. So we've had a bunch of people write into us with some relationship questions. And we thought, what better person to answer than Ray?
We should ask Ray.
I don't know why you would think that.
This is a section that's going to be called Ask Ray.
Ray's been with her partner for how long?
10 years.
10 years.
Her husband.
Well, now her husband, but previous.
How long did you guys date before you got married?
10 years.
Yes. Oh, you just got married.
Mm-hmm. I was at Ray's wedding.
10 years of dating. Yes. And 3 months of marriage.
It was not all consecutive dating, though. There were
little momentary times.
Lapses.
I was at Ray's wedding.
Which I would recommend if you meet someone when you're young to take some space and explore your single self.
I think that's a very good piece of advice, actually. I think
so, too.
I agree with that.
I love that you guys just ended up with each other, though. So romantic.
It is very romantic.
Okay. We have a lovely woman who has written to us. And she's asking, dun, dun, dun. She's having some issues with her boyfriend's parents. So her and her boyfriend have been living together for 2 years. And she always gets along with his parents, but they're very traditional, she says. And she's feeling a lot of passive aggressive judgment. And she says, especially when the parents come to visit, they make comments about kind of how she runs the household and about her, you know, being a good host and that she shouldn't come downstairs with her hair not blow dried. And she's wondering what to do. Should she compromise herself to keep the in-laws happy because she loves her boyfriend and she wants to obviously, she knows that they're going to be a big part of their life. And she's like, how do I manage this situation?
I think it's so common. If you ask, I have other friends who are married at this point, and if you ask anyone, almost everyone has the same issues. And I think that, so if you think about why that is, it's difficult for families to merge.
Yeah.
It's difficult for, you kind of, as a parent, I'm not a parent, but, you have these sort of expectations of your child and who they're going to end up with. And then on the other hand, you have expectations for them and it's a dynamic.
Yeah.
So I think that just everyone deals with that. And then sometimes you end up disliking things in your in-laws because you see how they might have filtered down to your partner. And that's really common as well.
Yeah. I also feel like when you're staying in the same place, even as your parents, let alone your in-laws, that everyone always has an opinion. You know what I mean? What you should be doing. I know when I go home, even just see my parents, they're like, why are you wearing that? Or what is this? Always questions. Or did you mean for your hair to be that blonde? they just parents ask questions.
Right. There's also, it's a generational thing.
Yeah.
They don't understand us. We don't understand them. But I think that, you're probably not going to be able to get, an older generation of people who are set in their ways to understand you. So then you have to be the one to understand where they're coming from. And just the more understanding that you have, the easier it will be for you.
Do you recommend saying anything to them? It hurts me when you do this or no?
Well, I think, using the wet hair example, if you want to call it that, I think that that's a little harsh. So I would, not try to go so out of your way to please them or anyone ever, as a general rule of thumb, because you also have to set boundaries too. So if you, set a precedent for the fact that sometimes you come down with wet hair and that's just something that they'll have to deal with, using that as an example for a whole slew of things that could come up. I think you have to, manage their expectations too. So
her boyfriend's family would hate me because I literally don't know how to blow dry my hair. I have no idea. I'm always have wet hair.
And yeah, I don't even own a blow dryer. I need to get one though.
Yeah, no. I think also if you're in a situation like that, talking to your partner about maybe what's going on and why you feel uncomfortable could be advantageous, but you really have to walk a fine line because remember they are the son or daughter of these people. And so it's really easy to take offense over your parents' behavior or become protective of them. And so it's a fine line, but if you can walk it appropriately, then I think probably you get some good insight, you know, into why they are the way they are or how they feel or what you really should do. But yeah, I mean, like for me, my goal is always to feel comfortable. And sometimes that means doing things for me in the situation. And sometimes that means doing things for somebody else's parents. You know what I mean? I think that you can do both and you don't have to like be upset at yourself over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
You also have to really test the waters, because if you, yeah, you might get the reaction like when you bring up, oh, hey, like your parents did this, I thought it was kind of weird. They might say like, oh yeah, you know, I totally agree with you. More often than not, it's, that's not their reaction.
Right. Yeah. More often than not, it's fuck you.
Right. So you have to, yeah, exactly. So you have to, you know, try to keep the peace by, you know, just knowing that you're not always going to be able to go to your partner with these complaints.
Yeah.
You should be able to, you know, have an open, honest conversation about it, but yeah,
usually they're going to relationship.
Yeah. Usually yeah, they're going to be defensive of their parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never been in a relationship with someone that would not have been defensive of their parents. Yeah. I had an ex-boyfriend whose mom literally hated me for no reason. She hated me, and I brought it up to him and I was like, look, your mom hates me. It's really fucked up. And not, it's, I mean, she was also like talking shit about me, like that level of hatred to me. And I was like, and you need to tell your mom that it's not right. And he looked at me and he was like, I don't need to do anything. And I was like, okay. I mean, we broke up shortly after that, but I do think that even when a parent is doing something very, like literally wrong, like not just being weird in particular about who their child is with and having opinions, because we all have opinions, like literally speaking poorly for no reason, they still won't side with you half the time. So
there's also sometimes like jealousy issues. Like I totally think the mother and son relationship can be
really intense.
Oh my God. Right. I dated this guy and every time his mom would come over to our house, because she lives out of town, she would ask to like take a nap in our bed.
That's very
and
odd.
And I thought it was just like she, it's not that I don't mean to be like rude when I say like you have your own hotel room, but like we didn't have a large, it was like a small apartment and it was just like uncomfortable. Like, I don't really...
She would be staying at a hotel, but yeah, she would come over and nap at your house?
Yeah, like, just weird things. Like, one time she asked me to put lotion on her back, and I felt so uncomfortable because I don't even... You guys know me. Like, I don't, like, love to touch that much. It was just, like, all these, like, boundary things that I was not comfortable with.
Yeah.
And he, like, had no idea, but then we broke up, too, because, like, it wasn't...
Boundaries are, like, a but huge boundaries, keyword, yeah, too.
And I also think it's,
some
like,
people don't have them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like respect. If you guys all like try to respect each other, like respect each other's views, like I'm uncomfortable like putting lotion on your back and like you need to respect that. And like he should have respected the like my feelings there and he didn't, which is like a larger reason to what as to why like our relationship didn't work. But I definitely think boundaries are just important
up well, there.
And your the person who asked this question,
yeah,
she mentioned that her boyfriend's parents are, or husband's parents are traditional.
Yeah.
And I think that that's another thing too, that it's like you really have to try to get to know them, because
yeah,
the more that you kind of figure out what they're about, that'll help you sort of act accordingly in a way that, again, like you can still be yourself, but you can be more attentive to the fact that like you're not going to be stepping on their toes,
yeah,
or doing something that, you know, like the second you leave, they're all going to turn around and be like, can you believe that she did this or that she said this? Because I feel like there's always going to be a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So if you, the more you can learn about them, the more you can avoid like, you know, people talking about you when you leave.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think like seriously, the smallest amount of discord amongst family members, boyfriend, girlfriend, parents, like whatever, the better. Like, my personal policy is, like, always just be on your best behavior.
Yes.
Like, just be on your best behavior, Lauren. And, like, if they still don't like you, then maybe it's the wrong relationship.
No curse words. No curse words. Rule number one.
I don't know. Well, I guess in my family, curse words are allowed, so...
I don't know. I'm very scarred from the mom that hated me because I said the word shit in front of her.
That's not even a big swear word.
You have to take cues from them, right?
Yeah, you just need to be observant. Like, if the parent is saying shit, fuck, whatever around you, then I think that's like a signal that you could probably say bad words around them, maybe. But also, I think just don't say bad words, maybe, for me.
I love Greta. Greta's the one saying don't say bad words.
Greta's
future
child's partner. Don't say swear words around Greta.
She will not be okay with that.
Because here's the thing. My mom had a potty mouth. My mom would say, ugh, I hate that word potty mouth. I mean, my mom would speak freely whatever she wanted to say. But, like, would not do it in front of... other, you know what I mean? It was like a private thing.
Well, that's another thing too, is that, you know, it's really hurtful when people just like don't embrace you and don't like you for who you are.
Right.
Like in reality, you really shouldn't have to be like, you know, thinking about it this much or,
you
know.
But we all do.
Right. Exactly.
Well, yeah, because if you really care about the person, you want the people that care about them to also be like obsessed with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know that saying, when you marry a guy, you also marry his mother?
Yeah.
I mean, how do we feel about that?
Or like you marry their family?
Yeah. I think you marry their family for sure. I mean, like, absolutely. I feel my past relationship, I had to break up with every member of the family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and it's like only till like 2 years after did they stop sending me Facebook messages.
It's a shame to lose all those followers, you know.
True. Those 3-4 followers really
You're like, it was a Greek family. There were 500 people.
Truly, for me, one of my ex-boyfriends, after we broke up, the next morning I woke up minus 60 followers. I was like, oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
60 followers? That's so funny.
Will date for followers. I know. It's a big hit. It's a big hit.
You have to, when you break up with someone, you have to be ready to lose the followers.
You do. You do.
That's funny.
I think that we have time for one more question.
Oh, yes. We had someone also recently write in because she is super close with her boyfriend. They live together. Obviously, it's her boyfriend. But she is upset because he is going to be taking a job that is like 15 hours away from where she lives or where they live. And she's upset because he didn't include her in the decision.
So he's moving?
Yeah, but I don't know.
Is she invited to go with him?
She's not going to leave her job for him.
Oh,
so she says in the email she likes her job and he doesn't even really like his new job. And he's taking it. So she's...
Can you clarify further? Is he going to get another place, but then like come back on weekends, or is he just moving?
I do not have all this information in this email.
Can I see the email?
Well, I think that all of those things are to be considered.
Oh, he's also in a band. I just read that part. So he's a musician. And so he's going to work with his band.
So what's the question?
The question, she's upset. She's like, why didn't he include me in this decision process? And like, what does this mean for our relationship?
It doesn't mean anything good.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I think sometimes when you have a creative, when you have a partner that's creative and they have to take creative chances, like that is something you have to deal with because you're dating someone that doesn't have a structured job. You know what I mean? And you have to accept that's the type of person you're with. But I do think that having no communication is not great.
Yeah, it makes me feel like this person prioritizes their work life over their home life at this point in their life. She has to decide whether she's comfortable in a relationship that is at that stage.
For sure. And I also want to know how old they are. I also want to know, you know, if she sees herself marrying him. If she, you know, because maybe there are two different places in their life, guys. Like maybe she's down
for the structure. Age could be a factor here. Like at a certain age when you're building your career and building your life, you know, you do tend to put yourself first. And I think that that's okay. But I also think that just as someone who's like probably a little bit older than these people. I think that as you, you know, find yourself in relationships, when you're asking yourselves, when you're asking these questions, like, it means something's not right.
Yeah,
you know,
I
totally.
Think that when you like really meet the person that you're, you know, you feel like is your person or your partner or like the love of your life, you're not gonna accept a job without telling them. And you're not gonna even imagine like a world where like they're not in it. So I think I would probably like tell this person to keep looking.
Definitely.
And to move on.
I would, I mean, yeah, I think that you can't have a good relationship, period, if you're not talking and communicating.
I can't imagine being in a relationship and having my boyfriend be silently thinking about another job and moving away and never talking to me about
right.
it.
That's a huge decision.
And then just one day being like, I'm moving.
Right.
It's like Carrie when Big moved to Paris.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And we were all very upset.
It's like the bomb. Well,
no,
first
Paris.
He went to Paris. And in season two,
right,
he goes
right.
to Paris.
Okay.
And she's like, what? You didn't even tell me.
Right. Like,
right.
Like not even being able to have the conversation with them.
But then that's not to say that this guy isn't going to, you know, figure out his mistake and look back on
right.
it and come back. But either way, you just have to let a person go and like figure that out for themselves.
And you'll ultimately be happier too. Because it's the worst feeling is when two people feel like they're stuck and like they can't actually go out into the world and like explore themselves and do what they need to do in order to feel fulfillment from their own life.
Yeah. And you don't want to like hold someone back from like pursuing something that they could potentially resent you.
Resentment is
down
like
the line. That's a pretty big relationship killer.
Definitely.
I have one more question quickly.
Yeah.
Someone wrote to us saying, I've been in a relationship over a year now with my boyfriend and we're both turning 27. We sleep at each other's places 4 to 5 times a week. This October, my lease is up. By that time, we will be dating for 2 years. And I really want to take the next step in moving in together. He doesn't love to talk about his feelings, so I think I have to bring this up. How do I do so in a casual but serious way?
Moving in together is not casual.
No.
I would tell, this is what I tell all my friends. When you think about moving in with someone, you have to also think about what it would be like to move out and to be dividing.
It's like to get divorced before you get married.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Right.
It was
so
the
worst. If you don't think that this is it, I would keep your apartment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also think that you do learn so much about the person and you learn if they're it sometimes when
yes,
you do take that, especially if you've never lived with anyone and you feel like you want to do it. I don't think that you should say no, but I think that if the other person isn't as, you know, interested in the idea, that's not a good sign. I think you both need to go into it with positive thoughts and everything. But I think she wants to know, like, how do you bring it up?
Right. I mean, right. Chances are high her boyfriend doesn't even know her lease is up in October. So he's, like, totally in the dark about this.
That's true.
And it's something that she's just thinking about on her own and contemplating. Just like the email said, she wants to know how to bring it up. And
just bring it up.
I mean, there's no casual way to bring up the idea of living together.
Right.
I think that you need to say it in a really, I think that the best way to approach any serious next steps in a relationship or in life in general is to just be as straightforward and as honest as you can be. So if what you want to do is move in with him and take the next steps with him, then you need to have a conversation with him where you sit down and you look at him and you say, hi, I'm going to pretend like Ray is my boyfriend and I want to be with Ray. Ray, I love you so much and I really want to take the next step in our relationship with you. I can really envision building a future with you and experiencing life with you. My lease is up in October. My lease is up in October and I really think that we should consider moving in together. I want to know how you feel about that.
See, I feel like you came on really strong there.
Okay.
But now I know that you want to live with me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one approach. I would say, like, another approach to just make it a little more casual, but also, you know, to make sure that your voice is heard, you know, you could make it a conversation. Like, you know, my lease is ending. I don't know what your lease situation is like, but... You know, and we spend a lot of time together. Like, how do you feel about the amount of time we spend together? Is this something that we should be considering? You know, make the other person feel like they're part of the conversation.
No, you should definitely bully them into living with you. This is not good advice. You go to him and you say, live with me. I'm pregnant. And then they move in with you and you just say, just kidding, not pregnant.
I also have something critical to add here.
Let's hear it, Lo.
1 year into a relationship, everything typically is like butterflies and puppy dogs. And 2 years into a relationship,
shit hits the fan.
You know, unless you're getting married. You know if this is a person for you or if this is not going to work. And
that's
so
a good point.
It's only December and she has what, like 10 months to go till October?
Yes.
So
maybe wait till
I
July.
Would really, really, really.
Wait, did it say like, they were 2 years in or 1 year?
They're 1 year in
now. They're 1 year
in. It'll be two in October.
So she has a while to go. So I would not fucking bring this
don't
up.
Don't even stress out about it now.
Time.
I would
you
enjoy your relationship and then in July, I would think about it again.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah. See, I misunderstood you. I thought that it had already been 2 years.
No. Yeah. Okay. Yes, this is very, now I'm thinking about the timeline.
Okay. 1 year.
Very premature.
Super.
Just enjoy every step, I also think. Like, don't rush it too much. Like, you're in love. You're 27. Just, like, you know, enjoy that you get to spend 4 nights with him and get 3 nights on your own, girl.
But if you yourself want to be thinking about this, which she already is.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is to really pay attention to, you know, the amount of time that you spend together and what that time is like, because really moving in like doesn't change all that much if you're already spending a lot of time together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know like what this person's living habits are like, you know what the person's quirks are, and like
it just makes everything more complicated sometimes, right. In a good way, because you love them and you want to be with them forever,
right.
But I feel me and this girl and I have been with our boyfriends for literally the same amount of time, and I'm telling you, like, for me, I love nights that I'm not with him because it makes me super excited to see him like the next day, and I'm not sure if I'm at a point where I'm ready to give that up, you know what I mean? Give up my space. And I mean, I also lived with an ex-boyfriend before and it was really bad.
Yeah.
And that relationship also, I should have never moved in with him, because there were times before we moved in together when I thought to myself, oh, do I really want to be doing this?
Yeah.
So I should have listened to my gut and not moved in.
I think whenever when you've lived with someone and it hasn't been pleasant, then the next time you go to make that decision, you think about it so much more, because you're like, I've had this bad situation, and like living with someone and breaking up is pretty much like ending a marriage, because you share everything, including like the electricity, the rent, you know what I mean? It's just like
you
your
share
furniture,
a life together,
you know, it's like
way.
Everything.
More than just the stuff.
Yeah.
I think that all in all, though, we can all agree that you should think it's fine to be thinking about it, very normal to be thinking about it, but I don't think that you should bring it up with him. If you're see how you feel, like Jillie said, in the summertime, see how you feel when it comes closer to actually making that decision, because I think right now it's a little too premature.
I agree. Yeah, especially if you're in New York, because you really only need 30 days to look for a new place.
Yeah, it's true.
You can find a new apartment in a week.
Exactly.
How Lo found me my new apartment, and I saw it, and we got it within less than 6 hours.
It's great apartment.
I am the best apartment.
She is.
Really?
You guys,
Hunter,
if you want someone to help you find an apartment, email Lo.
Well, I think that this has been a really successful episode. We covered a lot of
topics.
Thanks,
Ray, for coming on.
Thank you. I would love to come back anytime.
We want you to come back always. We end each episode with our guest. They have a lady. You get to have your own lady lovin'. So that is a woman that you are inspired by and admire and means something to you. So we like to let women start their week, or men, if you're listening to this, start their week with a
some positivity.
Yeah.
So, Ray, who's your lady lovin'?
Who's my... Oh, I know who it is. It's Joan Didion.
Oh, very good one. Very
good. We haven't had her yet.
It's her birthday the other day.
Yeah, she's... I love her writing.
Yeah, she's incredible.
If you haven't read all of her books, I would do that.
The Year of Magical Thinking.
Well, that's one of her more recent works. Mm-hmm. But
even... What was the one that I just read?
Well, I love her essay on self-respect.
One of my favorite essays is On Going Home.
Mm-hmm. I'll check that one out.
From Slouching Towards Bethlehem.
Great. I love that.
She's an incredible writer, but an equally as incredible person and a great lady lovin'.
Ray, this was so fun to have you on.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
I feel like I learned so much. I feel like I'm going to grow from this episode. So thank you.
And we hope everyone has a positive week.
Yes, we love you all.
Bye.